Welcome to episode 333 of Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes to the industry, but the one thing that has stayed the same is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that can only be made through experience. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth, Lindsay, Donna, and George. A few weeks ago, we brought you Two Truths and a Lie Travel Edition with some fun facts about Paris. We received some good feedback on it, and we had fun doing it, so we're going to do it again. And this week, I'm going to test the group's knowledge of all things New York City and how it relates to Pittsburgh. And kidding, I didn't put Pittsburgh in there until just now. All right, and then I'm going to see if you guys can spot the lie. So let's get started.
Before we start, did you actually make sure that it was two truths and a lie this time?
Yeah, pretty much. But this was another one of those that I was tired when I did it. So yes, I reread it. It's two truths, one lie.
I think
that is
setting
the case,
this up
I'll let
to
you
get...
know after you all answer your question.
I think you're just setting this up so that we get listener feedback.
That would be fun.
Whatever it takes.
We should do a contest with like the funniest listener feedback. They get to be a guest on the show.
I don't know. Is that for the winner or the loser? I'm not sure. All right.
Are we ready? All right. Let's get started. All right. So first set of questions. Number one, from colonial times up until the 1920s, May 1st was moving day, and almost everyone who had to move apartments did it on this day. Number two, the nickname the Big Apple comes from the apple orchards that used to stand where Central Park is now. Or number three, in New York City, the avenues run north to south while the streets run east to west. And I guess I'll call on you guys. So, George, what do you think?
Oh boy.
I thought George was frozen there for a second.
They're not related.
So I know it's not the third one because I believe that's true.
Moving day.
Okay. Is that the one I'm supposed to be picking out, the true one?
No,
or
you,
the lie?
Two truths
All right.
and a lie.
What was the first one again? The first answer?
From colonial times up until the 1920s, May 1st was moving day, and almost everyone who had to move apartments did it on this day. And number two was the nickname the Big Apple comes from the apple orchards that used to stand where Central Park is now.
Okay, I think that one's the lie. No apple orchards.
No apple orchards, okay. Elizabeth, what do you think?
You're number one. Partially because you said until the 1920s, which makes me think that maybe it was like the 1910s or something like that. So I'm going to say
no. You think I was tricky again like last
yes.
time?
Yes, yes, I do.
All right, Lindsay, what do you think?
Oh, well, I know three is true. And I don't think that there were apple orchards in Central Park. Wasn't that where the Adams family house used to be?
No. Yes. But the apple orchards would have predated the Adams family house.
Predated the Adams family. I'm going to go with two being the lie.
All right, Donna.
I think I'm with Elizabeth because you pulled the sneaky ones with dates. So I think it's true, but the dates are wrong.
All right, so Lindsay and George, you were correct. The nickname the Big Apple comes from a horse racing term, which is interesting. It really had nothing to do with apples.
I'm gonna copy George's homework for the rest of the semester.
Oh, don't do that. You'll never graduate.
I'll be calling on you first. All right. So the next group of questions, that one had no theme to it, but some of the rest of the groupings kind of have a theme. So, we are kind of in the Wall Street area of Manhattan now. So number one, the first ticker tape parade happened in the 1800s and marked the news of the end of the Civil War. Number two, on Wall Street, you can still trace the wooden pavers that made up the original wall, which is why it's called Wall Street, dating back to the 1600s. And number three, the Fearless Girl statue that stared down the Wall Street Bull first appeared for International Women's Day in 2017. And she's since been moved
again. Nothing, go ahead.
She's since been moved to a permanent home at the New York Stock Exchange. So, Lindsay, let's go with you first.
Oh, gosh. Why did I say anything? I feel like number two and three, I feel like all three of these things are things that my tour guide would tell me after I've had like three drinks on the food and drink and history walking tour. And I would believe all of them. So I'm going to go with, I don't think that wooden pavers would survive. So I think two is a lie. Okay. I don't know.
All right. Donna, what do you think?
I'm thinking the ticker tape, because I don't think, you know, even back in the Civil War, they had many teletype machines. So I would be thinking that it would be a little later than
good catch, 1860s. Donna. I wasn't even looking at the dates. She's so tricky with these dates.
They use the dates, man.
I know. All
right. Elizabeth?
I think it's number one.
The ticker tape parade? Okay. Yeah, George? Go ahead. Did you want to elaborate?
I think it was actually World War One or Two. I think it's a little bit later. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think they had ticker tape in World War or in the Civil War. Yeah. Not even sure they had electricity then.
I wasn't even paying attention to that.
Okay.
Because you were 3 years into your tour.
This is interesting. Okay, first of all, yes, Lindsay, I did learn some of this on a drinking tour. But I backed it up with other obscure internet articles. So so the pavers are true, actually. You can still see some of the wooden pavers from the original Wall Street back whenever New York was actually New Amsterdam. And it was controlled by the Dutch. So that's kind of cool. I tried to find some more facts because I remembered them talking about how when they were building New York City, they kept, like when they were excavating, they kept bringing the dirt down to that end of the island. And it actually added like, I don't know, an acre or something. I don't know. It added a bunch of land to the island and the island grew because of what they did. But I couldn't actually find that. So I didn't include that because I couldn't prove it. But I thought that was kind of cool. Anyway, so.
Wait, yeah. You're getting factual now?
No. So this was from my Hamilton happy hour walking tour, which was in Wall Street. It was really cool. I mean, New York is old and it's a really cool place to do some historical walking tours. So I highly recommend. But the ticker tape thing is false. The reason it's false is not because of the 1800s, because it did happen in the 1800s. It happened when they brought the Statue of Liberty over from France, and it was like 1880s.
So, yeah, that's right at the end of the 1800s, yeah.
I mean, that's a little bit after the Civil War, but you know, but it was the 1800s, and it was, but that's what it was for. And then, so then it became like a thing, the ticker tape parade. So, yeah. They threw all their ticker tape out the window. All right, so now that I've kind of confessed that I did a Hamilton walking tour, I have a whole set of facts based around the musical Hamilton and the life of Alexander Hamilton. So this is the spot the lie, and it kind of comes from what was not, I mean, if you're really familiar with the Hamilton musical, these kind of call out, this lie will call out the thing that was not exactly true in the thing, well, a couple of them. Anyway, shameless Hamilton facts. Here we go. All right. And to clarify, you don't have to say it was this way in the musical, so this is what's wrong. This is just about Hamilton. All right.
We're talking about actual history here, not what happened in Hamilton.
Okay. All right. So number one, Angelica Schuyler was already married when she met Alexander Hamilton. And she is buried in the same cemetery, but not really near him. Number two, Philip Hamilton was actually their second born child. He had an older sister. And number three, the duel where Aaron Burr shot Alexander Hamilton was at the same place where his son was killed 3 years earlier. So I'm going to go to you first, Elizabeth, because I know you're a big Hamilton person.
Number, oh, I think it's number two is the lie.
Okay.
I think. I know number one is correct. So you guys, number one is correct.
She knows number one is correct. Are the rest of you familiar? I know you saw it, right, Lindsay?
Did see it.
Okay. So what do you think?
Okay. Well, here's the thing. I saw it, but I kind of never picked up on number one being... I don't remember that from the musical.
Remember the
you
musical?
Haven't watched it many times.
I know, it's not liberties. Real history. It's,
yeah, he changed liberties. Some things to... Yeah. It just, for the so record, here's the thing. All four of them didn't meet in a bar either. That was all totally made up.
For the record here, I'm going to say that it's probably number one just because I trust Elizabeth, but it's hard for me to say number one because wasn't that kind of frowned upon like way back when?
It's well, always been frowned upon. Well, she but number one is, I'm saying it's the truth.
You're saying it's the truth.
Yeah.
No, because she said two truths.
Yeah, because she could have been a widower.
Yeah, so what's the lie?
Yeah, I said number two is the lie. I know number one is true. I'm very confident. I'm putting my whole reputation on the line.
What was it in the same? Was the duel in the same place?
Was it?
One of these
I'm gonna be a rebel here because I'm not as invested in Hamilton as you guys are, and I'm gonna say number three because what if it was a different location? Because why would you have the duel in the same exact spot?
I don't because know. It was convenient.
I'm just
Donna. Donna, have you watched the play? Are you familiar with it?
I've seen it once, and there was loud people around me, so I really couldn't hear the lyrics. So one of these days, I'll have
you
to
need to watch it on Disney Plus.
Watch it
and
again.
Turn on
the closed caption
the subtitles.
Oh, there you go. See, I'll have to do that. But I'm thinking it's number three because I'm just having children. Mm-hmm. I think it would be too painful to go to the same spot where his child had already died. So I'm thinking. Number three is the lie.
All right. George, have you seen it?
Don't have a clue. I have not.
Okay.
So I'm going to say number three just to go with the crowd.
All right.
That led you all down the wrong correct. Way.
In the play, Hamilton has this kind of connection, I guess we'd say, to Angelica, who's his sister-in-law. And she kind of plays it up. Like there's a whole song about him meeting her first, but she kind of gives him to her sister and lets her sister have him or whatever. But that actually wasn't how it happened. At the end, when he dies, there's a song in the song. It says that she's buried in the cemetery at Trinity Church near him, which is not totally true because it's not that. Oh, cool.
It's a small cemetery. That said, there was a thing going on. George, are you still there? Because we lost your video. Okay, just making sure. Oh, okay. All right. So, they did have a flirtation. So that part is true. It's just that she didn't have the opportunity to marry him because she was already married. So that wasn't something that she gave up.
So, and he did, his duel was at the same place where his son died, which, I guess there aren't as many dueling grounds in New Jersey as you guys seem to think, even though everything is legal in New Jersey.
At least it was back then.
I thought dueling just kind of happened wherever it was. I didn't know there was an official.
River. It was illegal.
There's 10 dual commandments.
There's 10 dual commandments. I mean, yeah. Come on.
It was illegal in the city of New York.
Yeah. So, Elizabeth, you were correct. Philip Hamilton was their firstborn child.
I think that's the first one I've gotten correct in all of our two truths and lies. I'm going to write this date down.
Alrighty, so this next group of questions centers around Broadway, so I expect that you guys will do really well on this. Alright, so number one, Broadway is the longest street in New York City and actually runs all the way to Albany. Number two, Cats holds the record for the longest running Broadway show. And number three, to be considered a Broadway theater, there has to be at least 500 seats. And then there's some location things that has to be between certain avenues and streets. So let's go with George first, because I think you're probably not so Broadway-y. So
really, what gives you that impression?
Let's throw George under the bus.
That's right. So what was the first one?
Okay, so Broadway is the longest street in New York City, and it actually runs all the way to Albany.
I will say that's wrong.
Okay. Donna.
I'm thinking Cats.
Okay.
I'm thinking it is the longest running show.
And well, that the is, so statement that, that's is what it Cats says. Holds that's the record true. For the longest running Broadway show.
I thought it said the second.
Yeah, it's the second question. Is, okay. Or second statement. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Well, then, actually, I'm thinking, I think George is right then. Broadway is not the longest street.
Okay. Lindsay.
I think number one is the lie. I think George is correct.
Okay. Elizabeth?
I'm going to be a rebel and say it's number two. Cats is not the record holder for the longest Broadway show.
Okay, so you're correct.
I thought so.
Do you have a guess what the longest is?
I think
it's Les Mis.
It's Phantom now, I think.
It's Phantom.
There's a Phantom. Yeah. Oh, it's Phantom.
Yeah. Sorry, I am a Broadway nerd, so that was not really fair.
Yeah, I think these questions are a little tainted and slanted.
Well, then just you're going to really hate bit. The next grouping because I'm the only one who cares about this.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say I've seen these and I am not going to be any good on these next ones.
All right. So the next grouping is about the New York City Marathon. Which I am totally fascinated by, and I think it's really cool.
Just like all Pittsburgh. Right. Yep.
Yeah. Well, I have done the Pittsburgh half. It was really good. Haven't done New York. It's a bucket list. Okay. So, number one, the New York City Marathon is the largest in the world and has boasted over 50,000 finishers in recent years. Number two, there is a strict qualification process for the marathon, and the cutoff time is 5 hours. Number three, the wave start of the corrals goes on until 11 a.m. And if you guys need any elaboration on what any of that means, let me know. Like the wave start or anything like that.
I know what it means.
Okay. So, Donna, what do you think?
I'm thinking that it is actually number two, because I don't think it has a strict qualification process. I think as long as you pay your dues and you want to do it, you can do it. Because I've seen it in How I Met Your Mother. Barty joined the New York City Marathon just on a whim.
All right, George?
I don't think, let's see, qualification process. I think it's two.
Okay.
So by that you're saying nobody can sign up for the marathon unless they've had a sub 5 hour time?
Yeah, right. There's a very strict qualification process, and the cutoff time is 5 hours.
I would say no. They let anybody with a dollar bill sign up.
All right. Elizabeth? Yep.
So I basically rolled a die to see which one it is, and mm-hmm. the die told me three, but I actually think it is two. I think three is a good guess, but I think it's two.
All right, Lindsay, you probably have an educated guess on this, so what do you think? What you done at marathons?
Yeah, but okay, so I'm questioning the sentence structure in question two. Because I believe that there could both be a strict qualification process for the marathon and that the cutoff time for you to that the cutoff time for you to complete said marathon could be 5 hours, but not that you had to have done a marathon in 5 hours to get into the marathon. But anyway, I don't know. It's got to be number two. Although my heart is telling me that it's been more than 50,000 finishers.
Well, yeah.
Look at how many people. Yeah, but look, is that 1 year or is that in a couple years?
In recent years.
In one race,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. So two is wrong. I thought Boston was the largest in the world. I don't know. I don't know anything.
Yeah, I kind of thought that too, but.
Okay.
I know nothing.
So, for comparison's sake, the Disney races are about 20,000 people.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the largest in the world. And the wave start I mean, I've had friends that have done this race, and basically they tell you not even to show up until your wave is going to go. And so, you know, I've had friends who have been finishing in the dark because it happens in November. It gets dark early. But there's not a strict cutoff, and the process for getting into the marathon is a lottery. It's not like you don't have to have like a really strict qualifying time.
You know, part of the reason I was leaning toward it too is you said it was bucket list, and I'm pretty sure you don't run it in under 5 hours.
No, I do not.
That was literally right now, what was going on.
I might be like a
head.
Half in 5 hours. It always blows my
mind. You gave it away.
Yeah. But the last time I was in New York was the weekend of the marathon. So we went to Central Park and watched the finish. And the time we got there, it was the elite finishers, and they were amazing. It was really awesome. And it was a perfect day, too, for running. It was really beautiful. All right. So this next one is kind of a hodgepodge. Again, there's not a theme. So number one. The Tower Bridge in London and the Brooklyn Bridge were built at the same time. Number two, the Empire State Building has its own zip code. And number three, the Statue of Liberty was a gift from France, shipped as 350 pieces in over 200 crates, and took 4 months to assemble. So Elizabeth,
like a Lego set.
Yeah, so unless you've screwed with the numbers, I do think three is right. I mean, unless it took 3 months to assemble instead of four or something like that. I think three is right. I believe the Empire State Building could have its own zip code. I don't think it does, though. The other thing, though, the Tower Bridge. As it stands today, maybe was built at the same time as the Brooklyn Bridge, but London is so old. I'm going to say number one is the lie. But I'm not super confident in that. I just sound super confident.
Okay. Lindsay?
I'm thinking along the same lines, Elizabeth. London is just so old. It could have been built at the same time, but part of me wants to go, like, their McDonald's is older.
Yeah. I mean, it could have
the building that the McDonald's is in.
I know it's been rebuilt, so it is possible, but yeah.
Yeah, I think one is the lie because, yeah. And it would make sense that the Statue of Liberty was a giant Lego set.
All right, Donna?
I'm definitely going with number one because Tower Bridge, now in its current form, yes, it was built at the same time. But no, it's been around since like 1500s, 1600s as far as being a bridge. So definitely number
one. All right, George?
Yeah, I'm going to go with one too.
Okay, so number one is the correct answer, but it's the opposite of what you guys think. The Brooklyn Bridge is older than the Tower Bridge.
What?
It's been rebuilt.
You probably should fact-check this because it was this one article.
Wait. But,
and I think it probably has to do with the fact that the bridge now is newer, So I don't know if there was a bridge before that. I mean, like, I don't know. I guess we need to do one on London.
Is that the site of the London Bridge? I'm not even sure. The original London Bridge that's now in Arizona.
The Tower Bridge. So
I know, but was it did it replace the London Bridge when they moved the London Bridge? That's what I'm wondering. Things to look up.
You know, honestly, I was going to dig a little bit deeper into this, but I was busy.
Yeah, I know. We did put this together last minute.
So, yeah, but I didn't really do the tricky ones about like the numbers and the dates this time. So you're welcome.
Okay, well, here you go. The Tower Bridge was opened June 30th, 1894. And the Brooklyn Bridge opened May 24th, 1883.
There we go.
Okay, the London Bridge is about half a mile upstream.
There are a lot of bridges in London. That's true.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I knew it was. Yeah, that's interesting. So interesting.
It is interesting, right?
I know it is. Two of my favorite cities, and you brought them together, and neither one was Pittsburgh.
Well, I did talk about Pittsburgh, but wait till you guys get my facts about Pittsburgh. Oh my God!
I know.
You're
I can't
blown
wait.
Away.
Yeah, that's
we're not even going to be able to deal with her.
I know. I'm not even sure I know where Pittsburgh is.
I'm going to have to start drinking before we start recording that one. I need to be able to make it through.
Oh, just you wait.
she knows too much. She's going to make it really hard.
You guys are going to be blown away about how much cool stuff there is to know about Pittsburgh. Just saying.
I want to do one about Seattle.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, you can.
All right, awesome. Well, that is our show for this week. Thank you for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Elizabeth, George, Lindsay, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.